thing you may have noticed about Christmas celebrations is that while Jesus and Mary get center stage, there are then shepherds, angels, wise men, drummer boys, and various animals that seem to get next higher billing before Joseph. Have you ever noticed that? Well, I think there's an important part. I think he's an important part of the Holy Family, and just as we are all part of the Holy Family. Now, according to the story, Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus because of her deep faith. And she is the traditional representation of love and caring. And certainly she had quite a big job ahead of her. But Joseph was also chosen. So they were like a power couple. He was visited by an angel, and he was also told what would happen. And Joseph had to make a choice. His betrothed becoming pregnant before they married was taboo. Some things haven't changed much. He could have shunned her. He could have broken off the betrothal, and nobody would have thought twice about it. But instead, whether from trust in the angel in God or from his love of Mary, he decided to take the child as his own and roll with it. Now, this shows great love, and it also shows great wisdom. And Mary and Joseph represent love and wisdom, a very important combination. In the Christmas story, together love and wisdom bring forth a miracle or a new way of being. And we too can activate our membership in the Holy Family by using love and wisdom. Well, you're like, how do you do that? How do we do that? Well, Charles Fillmore's definition of love, here it is. Ready? The pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly the most beautiful. In divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it, the great harmonizing principle known to mankind. It's a lot of words. It's okay. Just roll with it. And this is supported in Colossians 3, because a lot of what Charles Fillmore said came from the Bible, obviously. He didn't just make it all up. And so in Colossians 3, we read, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. We use our wisdom to know and to understand how to activate the power of love. See, love is more than a feeling that we have for someone. Love is more than oh my gosh, I love that show on TV. Love is a power. It is the power that brings together not only people but things, that binds together the whole universe. When we use our wisdom in conjunction with love, we were able to bring together most anything. Last week's theme was peace and bringing peace to the world by creating more peace in our lives. Well, love is one of the tools of peacemaking, as is wisdom. The quote from Colossians states that we must forgive and clothe ourselves in love. And this is how we become more of the Christ and claim our membership in the Holy Family. But what does that look like? Well, if you were only to watch the movies and listen to the songs about Christmas, it would be that Christmas is a time of happy, joyful memories for everyone. Which is true, but then it's not, because I know that it's not quite that straightforward for many of us. Because some people, there's estrangement in the family, and for some people, there's really bad memories. And for sometimes, it's just that a dear one passed at this time of year, and we miss them. There are plenty of things that can trigger a not-so-happy time for folks this time of year. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that, Because when we remember that, we can be ambassadors of love for those people who are feeling hurt in this time of year. And we can connect authentically, which connecting authentically is part about bringing forth peace, right? And I think it's important to just to say, you know, it's okay and normal to both be happy and sad at the same time. We can be happy that it's Christmas time and bummed because of this or that or the other, whatever it is for you. And while some of these things are natural results of the losses in our life, it's also possible that calling forth the power of love and wisdom can bring some transformation to some of these feelings as well. We are here to love one another and to forgive. Now, forgiving can be a tricky thing. Some people think it means that we're saying what someone did was okay, or that we have to allow someone full access to our lives if we forgive them. But that is not what forgiving is. Forgiving means that I love myself enough to release myself from the sadness / anger / disappointment / etc. that I feel when I'm thinking about a situation. Forgiving means that I can have boundaries about communication and time spent together and still release from myself from the bitter / scornful / judging / etc. feelings. I'm not saying we push an easy button, and it's done. That's so not how it works. I mean, it can, but not usually. But what I know for sure is that the unkind feelings we're harboring against someone else is really not hurting them. It's hurting us. So if we clothe ourselves in compassion and kindness and love, let's use our wisdom to see that there's something hurting. Let's use our love to open our minds and our hearts to the idea of being willing to release the feelings that we have about this situation. Wouldn't it be nice to not feel that whatever that is feeling about a certain situation or a person or a thing? Wouldn't it be nice not to feel that? Well, we can do that. Yeah, just have to decide that we want to do that. And then as we work there, we continue to remember that we're going to feel that we've decided we're going to let that go. Each time, it's a little less. So we use our wisdom to understand that that's what needs to happen. And we use our love to open our minds and hearts to that idea. In a few weeks, we're going to be doing Burning Bowl ceremony, and that'll be a chance for us to consciously release anything that we don't want to take into the new year with us. So this is your opportunity to start contemplating what those things might be. So we can, as we do that, we will let our inner holy family, that wisdom and love, come forth and guide us. So at Christmas, it's the celebration of the rebirth of the Christ in each of us, right? So let's talk about that. What kind of attributes do we think of? This is the all everybody in part. What attributes do we think of when we think of our highest way, our Christest way of expressing? Anybody? What kind of attributes might be our most highest way of expressing? Loving. There we go. What else? What ways do we show up in the world when we're expressing at our highest? Compassion. Did you say passion or compassion? Compassion. Both are right answers, though. Anything else? Acceptance. Excellent. Mercy. Joy. Faithful. We use our wisdom. All of those things. And more. What if we clothe ourselves in these attributes of love and compassion, acceptance? What if we consciously worked and acted to be those things? Knowing that we're going to make mistakes, right? But we have to just pick ourselves up and get back on track, right? I can tell you. What it does look like. I can tell you what it looks like to not act and clothe ourselves in these. I've known a lot of people who use being spiritual as a cover-up instead of a transformation. Now, we've done all this work on transformations. We've done a lot of talking about transformation, so I know you all are on board with doing transformation, but I'm going to give you a little example of what it might look like to use spirituality as a cover-up instead of a transformation. So just imagine you were in the kitchen and you dropped something on the floor and glass and liquid went all over the place. Okay? So that's like we make a mistake, right? No big deal. Now, if we take the spiritual journey of transformation to be our best selves, then we clean up our mess. We make sure that nobody comes in the area while we're cleaning up the glass and everybody's safe. We clean up the glass. We clean up the liquid. We do what we need to do. And maybe if it's somebody else's bowl that we broke, we make replace it, right? Now, if we were spiritually bypassing or using spirituality as a cover-up instead of a transformation, we'd either just keep going and doing whatever we were doing and stepping on the glass and not wondering why it was getting so difficult, or we might just move out to a different house and not even bother. It's not our problem anymore. It's not our house. We're not doing that anymore. You might have met someone who does that. It might have been you, but I'm not saying it was, but I'm just saying. So if we use spirituality just as like a cover-up, then we leave a path of destruction and broken relationships in our path. We have to clean up the mess. And that's part of the transformation process of using love and being our best Christ self that sometimes we want to not do because we want to be, oh, well, I'm spiritual now, so all that mess I left behind me doesn't matter. Well, no, it does. So we have to clean up after ourselves. And that's okay. We make mistakes. We clothe ourselves in love. We clean it up. We make amends. We get on with it. We don't sit around beating ourselves over the head about it. We just clean it up and move on, right? I mean, that's what you would do if you made a mess in the kitchen. Clean up and move on. So when I think about clothing ourselves in love, a friend of mine comes to mind of what it would, what could look like to clothe ourselves in love. When I first met her, she was a seminary student. And she and her family opened me with open arms. She was beloved by her classmates as someone who was kind, of a kind heart, who would give honest feedback, which wasn't always what you wanted to hear, but it was usually what you needed to hear. She had several ministries until she got sick last year. And she began a rigorous treatment to hopefully heal her. And she began to receive all sorts of gifts and letters from people from all her different ministries, some of whom she hadn't even seen in, 8 or 9 years, or even longer, some from high school. And all these letters and gifts was just telling her how much she meant and all this outpouring of love. One of her former ministries formed a prayer team, 7 people, one who called her every single day. Each of them had a day. And they prayed with her or they left her a voicemail prayer. People donated to help pay for her care. And she said she was just overwhelmed by the outpouring of support. She was like, Rachel, I don't understand. What? And I was like, you spent your life loving people. That's what you've done with your life. They're just loving you back. That's what it looks like to clothe ourselves in love. And sure, we're not perfect at it. We just practice. We continue to practice. And that's, to me, what the example of the Holy Family is about. To love fiercely, fully, beyond expectations. To use our wisdom and our inner guidance to help us understand things beyond appearances. To day by day, we move through our thoughts and actions to become more and more of the best Christ that we can be. And for that, we all are part of the Holy Family. Thank you.